this morning say amen. Praise God. That's my kind of juice. I'm going to need that. We're coming on the back end of a full week of youth camp. And that's why Jessica is not with me. Don't worry, that is not my wife. That is... Stand up, chicken. Well, and yes, you just heard me correctly. His name is Dakota, but he is known as Chicken. And Chicken decided to ride with me this morning, so he pulled out the house this morning right at 6 o'clock and drove down the mountain, got here, I don't know, about 30 minutes ago, I reckon. And so I appreciate you riding with me today, Chicken. Appreciate him. And he is also Newland's most eligible bachelor. So if you know anybody that is looking for a preaching machine that wants to marry a preacher, there's your best candidate. And you can sit down, Chicken. I'll stop embarrassing you. But I do appreciate him riding with me this morning. And as many of you know, Jessica has just crossed 35 weeks. So she is not riding with me more than 30 minutes anywhere, unless it's to her doctor's appointment, because she says that I'm driving terrible. I've never been a bad driver until she got pregnant. She wasn't going to be able to make the trip today, so I'm glad Chicken came with me. And I always love getting to come to Clayton. And I know this, every time I come, something is different. Something is either built or something that was built is gone. It's always completely different. And it's crazy to see how God is bringing so many people to this area. And it's a blessing to me to know that this church is going after them. Y'all aren't just doing the same thing you've always done. You're going after them, and I appreciate that. I know Brother Money mentioned something that's on my heart. It is on our heart. I know Jessica's heart as well, that we're serving God in full-time evangelism. Hey, Mom. Good to see you. Haven't seen her yet today. We're praying for an open door, and we're praying that 2027 will be our big open door to the Midwest. And if the Lord does not change some things, Lord willing, I'll be putting a tent up, preaching a gospel crusade in Palmyra, Missouri next year. And we're praying, Brother Mike, that that'll be our big open door to the Midwest, Montana, Wyoming, those states. And then I know our pastor, our youth pastor, Brother Chicken, myself, we have a big heart for the Northeast as well. And so we'll be trying to go get Boston and New York City soon. And don't know if we'll set a tent up, but we'll find a street corner and preach somewhere. And so we're excited about that. But so many things to be praying about. I know this, that we are living in the last days, but the Lord is certainly on the move. We, like I said, we just came off of a week of youth camp. My legs are killing me. I've been playing basketball till midnight every night, getting up the next morning for the director's meeting, getting shot by paintballs, getting thrown dodgeballs at. But it was a blessing. We had right at, what, Chicken, 320 teenagers on the mountain. And we saw many professions of faith, and we appreciate how the Lord helped us there. But man, I just love getting to serve the Lord. I was talking to Chicken on the way here, and I said, Chicken, you know, it would be real easy to roll over and hit snooze, but our calling won't let us do it. And there is nowhere I'd rather be this morning than right here, because this is where God wants us to be. And it is, Brother Vincent, it is the joy of my life to get to serve God with you. And it's just the joy of my life to get to serve God, and honored to be here today. Grab your Bible and go with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 5 this morning. Luke chapter number 5. And I appreciate how the Lord makes His will abundantly clear to us. And I've always said that the Lord is too big to miss. In other words, if you have a heart that wants to be shown God's way and God's will, He will, because He is way too big to miss. And I appreciate that about our Lord this morning. You stand with me when you find your scripture. Luke chapter number 5, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draw of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Go with me now to verse number 4. I'll draw your attention to one thing our Lord says. He says, Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep, and what are the next two words? Let down your nets for a draw. And this morning, with the help of the Lord for the next little while, I want to use those two words. Now I want to preach a message on this thought. God's letdowns. God's letdowns. Now don't miss it. I have never been let down in the Lord, but God has asked me to let some things down before. Now I want to elaborate on that. Let's pray together. Chicken, raise your voice and pray for us this morning. Help us, Lord, today. Give us everything we need and some. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We find ourselves in Luke chapter number 5, jumping quickly into the message. I want you to notice first off the word that was intriguing. The word that was intriguing. What does it say in verse number 1? It says that when they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. In other words, they had such a desire in their heart to hear the preaching of the word of God. I want you to notice first off the place of this preaching. The Bible says that it was by the lake of Gennesaret. We know when you study the context of the scripture that the lake of Gennesaret is also known as the Sea of Galilee in your Bible. And I know this, that the more and more I study the Sea of Galilee, it was an absolutely monumental place. There are miracles after miracles that happen on the Sea of Galilee. If you'll recall, one night the disciples were in the ship, and the Bible says that there came a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that the ship was full. And the Bible says that in the fourth watch of the night, the Lord Jesus comes walking on the midst of the sea, and he comes to the disciples, and that's when Simon Peter steps out by faith. And the Bible says Jesus commands the sea to be still, and the Bible says that the winds and the seas obeyed him. I draw your attention to another night. Jesus is in the ship this time, Brother Vincent, and the Bible says there comes another great storm of wind, and they come to Jesus and they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And the Bible says Jesus immediately raises up and he rebukes the sea, he rebukes the wind, and the Bible says the winds and the seas obeyed him. And they quote that verse, Behold, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the seas obey him? Can I say this morning, that you know the Sea of Galilee because of the miracles? But long before there was ever a miracle on the Sea of Galilee, there was a message on the Sea of Galilee. Long before Jesus ever performed a miracle, he preached a message. Can I say this morning? We, as Christians, are spoiled rotten in this great nation. We have need of nothing. None of us really walked in this morning starving to death, did we? Matter of fact, me and Brother Chicken, we ate a biscuit this morning at 6 a.m. And it had been so long, we had to stop and get another snack. Somebody say amen. Well, something had to hold us over till lunch, praise God. We have need of nothing. But I know how it is, that as soon as the going gets tough and as soon as the rubber meets the road, we say, Lord, we surely need a miracle. But can I pose to you this morning, long before there will ever be a miracle in your life, you should listen for a message. God will never do anything outside of the confines of His Word. Long before He ever moved, long before He ever created anything, the Bible says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters deep. And still water in your Bible is a type of the Word of God. God will never move on anything, around anything, outside of this precious Word. You say, Brother Joe, I'm looking for something this morning. You might be looking for a miracle. I feel like preaching, but you better start listening for a message from God. Because miracles will never supersede messages from our Lord. Jesus preached a message long before He ever performed a miracle. The place of this preaching. But then notice the people of the preaching. The Bible says in verse number 1 that they pressed upon Him to hear the Word of God. Here's something that I'm finding the more and more I study the Bible. The more and more you seek His Word, the more and more you'll find His way. The more and more you seek His Word, the more and more you'll find His will. We live in a day and time when Christians seek to find God's will and see God's way, but never want to listen to God's Word. If you have any problem in your life, I promise you, you can find your answer somewhere in this book. This is the answer book. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, somewhere in the confines of this precious Bible, God will give you exactly what you need. Maybe you walked in this morning, you said, Brother Joe, I surely need a miracle from God. Well, you better start listening for a word. Then God might just maybe load your wagon with everything you need. These people were not consumed with the miracles of Jesus. But Brother Mike, they were consumed with the words of Jesus. Can I say this morning? I love to see God's miracles. But Brother Money, on the days when He's not feeding the 5,000 spiritually, I can get in His Word and still hear His voice. You want to know the greatest miracle in your life outside of being saved is the fact that we can hear God's voice if we'll just listen. You want to know why I try to get in my Bible every single day of my life? Because it could be the day, Miss Joy, that God begins to speak to my heart. It could be the day that God opens the windows of heaven and begins to whisper sweet secrets to my soul and love on me. You hear me this morning? We surely need some people that'll stop looking for miracles and just start listening for a word. That's what we need in these days and in these hours. We need a word from God. The people of this preaching. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of your heart. We quote, the Lord will give us the desires of our heart, but we forget, delight thyself also in the Lord. The Bible says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In other words, if I hunger after the things of God, He will not let me go wanting for anything. The people of this preaching, but then notice the power of the preaching. Let me see if I can say this right, but I want you to think about this. Brother Todd, if I get this wrong, I'm not speaking in tongues, I promise. Think about this. Brother Kelly, in this moment, Luke 5, you have the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, from the Word of God, by the Word of God, because He is the Word of God. Did y'all get me? I'm not being crazy, but that's true. The Word of God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, and we beheld His glory. In other words, Jesus was the Word wrapped in flesh. So who better to preach the Word than the Word? Are y'all with me this morning? If you ain't awake, I'm going to come preach in your lap, and that ain't going to be fun for none of us. I'm too big for that. Chicken, you know what? First person you see nod off, go cannonball on. The Word is preaching the Word because He's the Word. Imagine preaching on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and being the fourth man that was in the fire. Imagine preaching on Daniel in the lion's den and you were the one that shut the mouths of the lions. Imagine being Elijah that had prayed fire down from heaven and you were the one that sent the fire. Imagine being Elisha and you were the one that opened his eyes and he saw that there were chariots of fire and he said, behold, there be more with us than there is with them. Imagine being the fourth man preaching about the miracles that... So do I have to elaborate? It's probably powerful. I know this is simple preaching, but it was probably powerful because he knew what he was preaching about because he was there. But if that ain't powerful enough for you, I want you to think about this. The most stubborn people I have ever met in my life, no, none of them's last name are Alford. The most stubborn people I've ever met in my life are fishermen. How many of you like to fish? God bless all y'all. Ain't never been that bored. Lord God, who in their free time wants to go sit in a boat and bull on water, get up before the sun comes up, fry like bacon, go all day not catch nothing, then want to do it all again the next day? A stubborn person. Y'all get me a boat that has AC on it where I can drop my little rod out a little hole. I'm okay with that. I do that. But here's what I've learned. The Lord's blessed my wife and I. We get to travel almost every week of our life and preach somewhere different. Brother Kelly, every fisherman I've talked to has caught the biggest fish that I've ever seen. Matter of fact, some of y'all are thinking right now of a picture in your phone that you're going to come show me and say, have you ever seen a largemouth this big? Well, matter of fact, yes, I have. Brother Chicken, stubborn. There's some people in Newland, they go fishing, and here's what they say, brother, you come with me, I promise you, you'll drop the line and they'll hit instantly. I got the best spot in town. And again, I say, brother, I ain't that bored, and I sure ain't willing to burn that much. What are you saying this morning, Brother Joe? I'm saying fishermen are stubborn. Fishermen think they know the best. I wish Tyler Wells was here, man. He's a fisher to a T. Tyler knows best. Now, I was thinking about this, Brother Chicken. Of all the people, Dr. Money, that would know where to catch fish, you'd think it'd be Simon Peter. Of all the people that would know where fish bite in the Sea of Galilee, it'd probably be these men that were listening to Jesus this night. Brother Todd, I studied it, and here's what they say. They say the only time to catch fish in the Sea of Galilee is at night in the shallow part of the water. But what did Jesus tell Simon to do? Launch out into the where? Not the shallow. Launch out into the deep, Brother Brian, and let down your nets for a draught. What is Simon's rebuttal? Master, we have toiled all what? And so if they've toiled all night, what time is it now? Now we're getting somewhere. It's morning time. And Simon knows you surely don't catch fish in the deep part of the water, especially in the morning. But something Jesus said in that message caused Simon to say, you know what? Nevertheless, at thy word, I will launch out into the deep and let down my net for a draught. What are you saying this morning, Brother Joe? I don't have to elaborate on why it was powerful, but there's the proof in the pudding, if you will. When a message can cause a stubborn fisherman to change his mind, something he said was powerful. You want to know why I get up week after week? Preach till I'm blue in the face, can't hardly breathe, because I'm praying something I say will cause some stubborn sinners to change their ways. I'm praying, Brother Bob Bailey, that some stubborn saints will change their ways as well. This word that was intriguing. But now notice the work that was inspiring. The work that was inspiring. What do you mean, Brother Joe? Well, verses 4 through 11, Jesus preaches and he teaches a message. I want you to notice the teaching that was taught. Jesus here, I don't know exactly what he preached, but I believe he probably would have said something that would have grabbed the attention of Simon. And Simon would have said, "Hey, James, Andrew, how in the world did he know that? How in the world did that man just say what he just said? He ain't no fisherman, he's a carpenter." And man, I can't elaborate on this, and I can't prove to you that this is exactly right, but you can't prove to me that I'm wrong either. Maybe, just maybe, Jesus said something and Simon said, "Is he saying he is the Christ? Man, he sure knows what he's talking about. Maybe I'll give him a go. Maybe I'll give him a shot." But can I say this? Simon at first did not want to follow him. But he says a word that every single one of us must say every day of our lives, and it's this word right here: nevertheless. In other words, nevertheless means I am no longer agreeing with everything that I know, but I'm going to follow what he has said. Nevertheless, the teaching that was taught, but then notice the teaching that was drawn. Man, it was late one night when the Lord showed me this and it helped me. Look verse number 4. "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto them, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a," what's that word? "Draught." Now I'm about to upset my mama when I'm about to say this. So mom, don't throw nothing at me. I'm not the smartest man in the world. Mom will call me sometimes after I preach places. She'll be like, "Don't you say that. You are too smart." Can I say, when your mom has to tell you you're smart, you're probably not the smartest. Do I have any witnesses? Sutherland crew, one of you boys better say amen. Y'all know I'm telling it right. The first time I ever read that, I must confess, I read Jesus said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought." And I said, "Dude, what? That don't even make sense." Newland's rubbing off on me. That's what it is. "Let down your nets for a drought." And so I did what any good Baptist would do. I went to the Bible app and I let Scorgie read it to me. And he said, "Let down your nets for a drought." And I said, "What in the world is a drought? What does that even mean?" So I began to study that word drought out. Here's what it literally means. Don't miss this. This is deep preaching. Drought in the Greek means catch. In other words, Jesus says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And man, I read that and my heart began to flutter. Brother Mike, that's my kind of fishing. I don't like fishing, but I like catching. Jesus said, "Simon, when you go further and do more than you've ever done, you won't even have to fish. All you'll do is catch." Now, can I preach to where we are? All of us Baptists right now are saying this guy's preaching heresy because he's asking us to change. You want to know the greatest cuss word in the Baptist church is change. And that's why the majority of them are dying. I said what I said. Don't throw a songbook at me. Change is not compromise. Change is healthy. Jesus said, if you're going to catch big fish, you got to go where nobody else wants to go. You got to do what nobody else wants to do. Here's our problem, Brother Bob. We want to catch big fish in shallow waters. We want to catch multitudes of fish in our comfortable seaside waters. But you hear this preacher this morning, you will not catch the biggest fish God has for you if you are not willing to go where God wants us to go. I'm preaching to some people this morning, and we've got to stop fishing in shallow waters. We've got to say, wherever you want me to go, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do for your glory. I don't want shallow fish. I want big fish. I want big fish. And isn't it just like the Lord? I don't know, Brother Mike, that night, if Simon went to where the fish were or if God sent the fish to him, but I know this, one way or another, he started catching. Can I ask you something? How many fish can God trust you with right now? I'm going to be honest, I want a boat full. Morgan Camp Deer Lake, I want a boat full of young people. I'm willing to go further and do more than I've ever done as long as God's in it. Because, Brother Mike, I don't want shallow fish. I want them big fish that everybody else has overlooked. I want the big fish that everybody else says there ain't no need in even going after. I want to get to where those fish are this morning. Can I ask you something? Where has God been asking you to go, or what has God been asking you to do that you've said, Lord, we've never done it like that before? Can I tell you something? There would have never been a catch if there was not first obedience. The greatest thing you'll learn in your Christian life is obedience to God's Word. I have personally learned, I haven't been walking with God long, but I do know this in my short time trying to walk with God. If I'll obey His Word, that's what brings blessings. Blessings come from obedience. Let's alliterate it. Blessings come from behavior. This morning, Brother Vincent, I want the fish that nobody else has even thought about. That night, God had a crop of fish for Simon. Nobody else could have called him that night except Simon, because that's where God sent him. Let's make this applicable to where we are. Maybe, just maybe, there's a street in Clayton, North Carolina, where there's some houses, and God's been telling you to go to them for some time. And only you individually can be the person to bring those people in. Brother Joe, how do you know that? What happened in Luke 5? It was Simon's night, nobody else's. Now I know this. You can miss your opportunity, but when you miss your opportunity, you'll never get it back. That's why it is so important to listen to the Word God gives you. I don't want to miss my opportunities. I don't want to miss my open doors. Every opportunity I get to preach the gospel somewhere, I want to go and give it everything I've got. Whether it be in a tent in Missouri or whether it be in my home church in Clayton, North Carolina, I want every opportunity I can get because I don't want to miss the fish God has for me. Maybe, just maybe, this morning, right now, you're thinking about it. And there's something God's been asking me to do. But can I tell you something on the authority of God's Word? God don't want you to go fish. He wants you to go catch. There's a preacher from Mississippi, and his name is Brother Steve Parrish, and he's ex-Army. He's a sergeant. He fought over there. Man, he's got God oozing off of him. Leah, it's like Leah's favorite preacher. I mean, Brother Steve is one of my mentors. He's just, I love him. And in his South Mississippi draw, here's what he always says. Brother Joe, go cast that net. Watch the fish get in it. Brother Mike, Simon didn't even have to fish that night. All he had to do was let down his net. Are you hearing me this morning? That's all we've got to do, is go further than we've ever gone and let down our net, and God will get the fish in the net. Brother Joe, that's Calvinism. No, it's not. That's Bible. God does the saving. Man does not do the saving. God draws sinners to repentance. That's what the Bible says. And if you aren't drawn by God, you're not saved. You've got to be drawn. And that's exactly what happened that night. They got out to where God told them to go. They let down their net. And then God drew them to the net. What did they do? They got in the boat. Can I say this morning? God's got a spot for each and every single one of us. But are we going? This teaching that was drought, but then notice the teaching that was caught. They caught so many fish that they began to need help to bring in their catch. Wouldn't it be a blessing if some of us started being such an effective soldier for Christ, we needed reinforcements to reach the people God's sending us to? Man, I want to get to the point where I need as much help as I can get because sinners are repenting and getting saved. Thinking about this, this isn't the message, but man, it's so applicable. Have you ever noticed that in Luke 5, the Bible says that they enclosed a great multitude of fish so that the ship was now full. The Bible says that their ship began to sink. When you read those other accounts, don't miss what I'm about to tell you. It's not the message, but it is very applicable. Those other accounts, Brother Kelly, when the Bible says the waves and the wind and the water beat into the ship so that the ship was now full, the Bible never says it began to sink. I've studied it out. It never once says the water filled the ship so that the ship began to sink. It only says it in Luke 5. Can I ask you something? What's more full? A fish full of water? A ship full of water, rather, or a ship full of fish? Which one? They're both full. So, why does one sink and the other not? Here's the only thing I can come up with. Brother Christian, it's because storms can never sink our ship, but stuff can. You want to know why Jesus, Brother Hunter, let that ship begin to sink? Because he wanted them disciples to know the miracle's never about the fish, it's always about me. The moment you begin to serve God for the results rather than the obedience of Christ, you've missed it all. You want to know something that helped me greatly? My mentor, Brother Daniel, man, there was one time I was preaching this church and I got under such a burden to preach salvation. I'm telling you, if I've ever known what to preach before in my life, it was this night. God wanted me to preach on salvation. So I get up there. Brother Kelly, I throw my tonsils to the back wall. I got sweat dripping off my earlobes. I'm preaching so hard, preaching on you. Got to repent. You got to be born again. You got to be saved. And I give the invitation. Piano player comes. Man, God's around. And guess what happened in the invitation? Not a peep, not a move from anybody. I got in the car and I was so defeated. I called Brother Daniel and I said, "Preacher," I said, "I'm so discouraged, I miss God." He said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." He said, "Why do you think you miss God?" I said, "Well, I really felt like God wanted me to preach on salvation, but nobody got saved." He said, "That's your problem, Joe. You was preaching for people to get saved, not preaching for Christ." He said, "Joe, if you'll preach to obey Christ, no matter the results, God rewards you." He said, "Joe, if there's 50 lost people in that church and you obey the voice of God, He rewards you like all 50 of them got saved because you were obedient." You want to know something that helps me sleep at night? God won't reward me off your obedience. He'll reward me off mine. All I can do is preach and obey. All you can do is listen and obey. But God ain't going to hold me accountable for you not obeying to what you've heard. Boy, that takes a load off of me when I go preach places. And they enclose this multitude of fish. Miss Paula, Jesus wants them to know the miracle is not about the fish. It's about Him. You want to know the greatest thing you'll ever do in your Christian life is just love Jesus with everything you've got and everything else will work itself out. You want to know what I've learned? The more I love Jesus, the more I love Jessica. I might be plowing in deep water here, but that's okay. Sir, don't tell me you love Jesus and treat your wife like a yard dog. Amen, Brother Joe. That's good preaching. Don't you tell me you love God and everybody that comes into your circle of influence don't want to be around you because you suck the life out of everything. You hear me this morning. Fall in love with Jesus. Love Him like you're supposed to. And everything else will work itself out. The problem is we live for results but don't live because we love Jesus. We've got to love Him. Brother Chicken, it's not about the results. It's about Him. It's not about what He gives you. It's always been about Him. It always will be about Him. Thank God this morning, I'm not preaching for you. I'm preaching for Him. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I love you this morning, Lord. For no other reason. That's why we do what we do. For Him. The teaching that was caught. Notice lastly, now the way that was imploring. I'm done. Notice the men, Peter, Andrew, James, and John would all follow Christ. Notice now their motive is no longer to catch fish, but it's now to catch men. But then lastly, Miss Joy, will you come play something softly? Now notice the message of it all. Here's the message this morning. If you do not go further, and if you do not do more, God will never give you more. Listen to me, people of God. Church isn't just about you and your family. Church is about sinners that need to hear the gospel. You want to know the greatest thing our church has ever done? Our pastors, we love him. He's got such a great vision for our church. We're about to start what we call neighborhood groups. In other words, we have small groups, but it ain't based off of families. It's based off of where we live. So I'll be in a neighborhood group with somebody that I normally wouldn't talk to on a Sunday. You ever notice this? Baptist people talk to the same people every Sunday. Baptist people go eat lunch with the same people every Sunday. Wouldn't it be crazy if some people you never ate lunch with before, you invite them out to eat next week? And maybe they'll say something that inspires you that you've never heard before to do something that you've never done before. But the problem is, we're Baptist. So we think we know best. We think that it's our way or the highway. You hear me today. I'm not being unkind and I'm not mad at Baptist people. I am a Baptist. I always will be. Because we're right doctrinally, but we are not right dispositionally. Sinners don't need to hear how right you are. Sinners need to see a tear running down your cheek. Saying, don't you live in sin. There's so much more with Jesus. Sinners don't need to hear what kind of Bible you carry. They need to know that you care. If all your Christianity is letters on the leather flyleaf of your Bible, you ain't got what I got. Never once did I ever see Jesus turn somebody away because they won't dress right, because they didn't look right, because they didn't talk right. Never once. Matter of fact, Jesus is interested in the most broken people. So can I preach to you for a minute, church member? When are you going to start to try to reach people that you've never tried to reach before? I heard a story and it convicted the fire out of me. I heard a story about Brother Ralph Sexton Jr. His grandson, Winston, was telling me this. He said, Joe, I remember walking into my granddaddy's house. There'd be Hispanics at his supper table. Didn't speak a lick of English. He said, Joe, I'm not being rude, but they didn't smell the greatest. He said, but I watched my granddad, the pastor of a 1,500 member church, carry them meals, hug on their babies' necks and kiss their foreheads and say, Jesus loves you. When we've got too big to reach people, we've gotten too big. When the walls of this church becomes about us and not about sinners, we've missed it. When your close circle becomes only about your close circle, you've missed it. Can I ask you something? When's the last time you tried to go eat a meal with somebody that you've never eaten a meal with before? Oh, Brother Joe, we just don't jive well. How do you know? Try it. Some of the people that I used to think would drive me nuts are some of my favorite people in the entire world. Some of the people I used to say, I ain't no way, are people that text me more than anybody else. Say, Joe, I'm in your corner. I'm praying for you. What are you saying this morning, Brother Joe? Here's the message. If Simon misses this opportunity in Luke 5, he misses everything. Jesus called his disciples not once, not twice, but three times. In Luke 5 this morning, this is his third call. If he misses it here, he doesn't get to be a disciple. Matter of fact, if he misses it here, guess what? As I call, there's no big three in the disciples, which is who? Peter, which is who? Simon, James, and John. And they're all in Luke 5. If Simon misses it in Luke 5, there's no Mount of Transfiguration. They don't ever get to see Christ in all of His glory. There's no miracle of the 5,000 because Andrew won't be there to bring the little lad. Nobody would have ever walked on water. What are you saying this morning, Brother Joe? I'm saying if he misses it in Luke 5, he misses all the blessings God had for him. Can I tell you something this morning? If you miss it this morning, what else are you going to? Brother Vincent, if he misses Luke 5, there's no Pentecost. Because Peter preached Pentecost. Ah, Brother Joe, God would have used somebody else. How do you know? You don't know that. But I know Simon said, ain't nobody getting my blessing because I'm taking my opportunity. Can I tell you something this morning? Why don't you step up and say, God, what are you asking me to do? God, what are you asking me to let down? You hear me this morning, church? It is time to launch out and let down. And watch the multitude of fish that God brings to your net. You stand with me this morning, every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around, I wonder. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart. Why don't you just slip out of your seat? Come find yourself a place on this altar. And say, Lord, give me the grace to do more and go further than I've ever gone.